The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more. But the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. And hopefully by now you can see how disjointed it begins to feel as a paragraph, right? It's not that it doesn't hang together at all, and it certainly, at least in my mind, inspires reference to other parts of Scripture. I'll try to pull that out for you. But finding a common thread running between them is getting tougher. And this is just going to continue. There will be places where the Proverbs hang together and they do connect. But it gets tougher and tougher the further you go into the book. And toward the end, there's some places that are very clearly intended to be together. But it's going to be increasingly Proverbs. Not, I don't mean this in a bad word, not diatribes, not theses and defenses, right? But Proverbs. Short, pithy, memorable statements that in themselves, as one verse, as one little couplet, that in themselves teach something that is, again, true, entirely true, and then sometimes just generally true. Wisdom, right? Wisdom that moves from the ultimate wisdom of the revelation of Jesus Christ down to, well, who maybe not to send on an errand, right? Not who not to give an important project to, as one of these has here this morning for us. So 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, this is dangerous. I could take this passage right out. I can walk out onto a stage in front of a crowd of thousands of people, hold my Bible open and say, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes you wealthy. Look it up, Proverbs 10, 22. You can see it right there in the Bible. The Bible says that you're going to be wealthy because God will bless you. And then I've got to add some reason why you're not wealthy. So I'll say something like, if you have enough faith, if you pray the right prayer, if you buy the right book, if you put enough money in this plate I'm going to pass around right now. Something like that, right? It's dangerous if you don't understand what real wealth is in the Bible and the Bible's perspective on real wealth, real riches. It's never mammon. True success is not victory. True success is health. And I don't even mean the health of your body. I mean the health of your spirit. It is knowledge, right? All of this started way back. That's why those first chapters 1 through 9, are so important. They set us up to understand that real wealth is the fear of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich in all circumstances. Think of St. Paul. I have learned the secret of being content in hardship and in abundance in both situations. If I have but food and water and a roof over my head, or even not that, I can be content because I know who God really is. And I know what a passing phase this age is. I know that the present suffering will not endure. And so clinging to the promises, which we have fulfilled now in Christ, which for you, Christian, means your baptism into him, your unity with him, your promise that you are one with Jesus. Clinging to that blessing of the Lord, you are rich. Right? Paul says this as well in 1 Corinthians. You're rich. Would that you would act like it. Stop going after the pennies and the porridge of the dying age. Now, the next line is just as dangerous, and he adds no sorrow with it. You could take that and I could try to tell you, well, being a Christian means you're never going to be unhappy. No sorrow, no suffering, which really grows quite counter to the theology of the cross. I mean, did Jesus not have sorrow upon sorrow added to him? Was he therefore not most blessed, even as he was in fact cursed and became a curse for us? This man of sorrows that we remember during this Lenten tide. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich with contentment, and he adds no sorrow. That is, through this same open eyes of wisdom, you're able to see the joy that's set before you in the life of the world to come. That the sorrows of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. That there is no actual sorrow in the Word of God, right? In the blessing. You are baptized into Jesus. You will rise from the dead. There's no sorrow there. All the sorrow is already in this age, right? It's in what we see and experience here. I could probably spend 30 minutes just on that little proverb there, because it is, it's a complex little bugger. Next one's really a lot more straightforward. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to the man of understanding. Pretty straightforward, right? And golly, I suppose it calls me to account, not like yesterday, but I just have these memories in my life of being in groups of people who are doing something they shouldn't be doing and laughing, thinking it's funny. It makes me think of high school, I suppose. It's been quite a while, but you know, the mockery of the weak, the scoffing, and then the just cackling at that. And it's not that the high school kid doing that is any more evil than you or me. But this is a problem with our flesh, a problem with our nature. As we are born, we are so wrongheaded, we actually just kind of think it's funny to do evil. It brings pleasure to the unbeliever to do evil. It tickles us. But faith, here called wisdom, the Word of God, is pleasure to a man of understanding. That is, on the other side, the one who has been justified, made righteous in Christ, is grieved by evil, is bothered by it. Can't bear to live in it any longer. Praise, deliver us from it. Take it away. Lead me not into temptation, right? Righteous Lot living amongst Sodom and Gomorrah. He was grieved every day in his soul, as Jude tells us. Wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. We crave, we hunger for more of this word from God in Jesus. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Makes me think of, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given to you. Those are promises. Promises that what God wants to give is mercy and grace forever. The desire of the righteous, the desire of the justified sinner, the Christian, to be set free from our sin, to be unleashed from our bondage to death and the devil, it will be granted. And even when we don't know what to ask for and we ask for all the wrong things, the Spirit is granted to us with groanings too deep for words or maybe even for our own understanding to intercede on our behalf and pray for those things we really need most. We always think the things we need most are the things of this age, and they're not. I mean, we need those things too. Your Father knows you need these things, right? But the nations chase after all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom, the reign, the activity of God in his word, and all the rest will be added to you. Not necessarily riches in this age, as in mammon in this age, but riches of contentment. And in the age to come, there'll be no lack. No one's going to be rich because we're just going to have what we need. Can you imagine what it was like in the Garden of Eden, just walking around, grabbing fruit? Never had to worry about where your next meal is coming from. Just, no, there's a tree. Oh, man. Wonder if they grew hamburgers on the trees back then. We'll find out, right? The wicked's dread comes upon him, though, and that is it. The natural man spends his entire life running from God, trying to hide from the wrath and the guilt in the conscience, which is chasing him, and all the various ladders and walls that are built to justify ourselves, all the yapping of the many words from yesterday's text, is trying to stave off what the wicked still down in his conscience, even as he laughs at the evil. He still knows somewhere deep inside what's coming. And it will come. There is a recompense on the way. God's not asleep. And when that tempest comes, when that raging storm of judgment day comes, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more. But the righteous, again, read that, the justified, the one who has been forgiven for Jesus' sake is established forever. And you got to think here again, I mean, how much of this is going straight into Matthew and into Jesus' own words? Did Jesus know Proverbs? Or did Jesus know Proverbs? I mean, he really did. Build your house on the sand, and when the storm comes, it falls with a great crash. Build your house on the rock, the storm comes, the storm goes, and the house stands because it's built on the rock. The tempest passes, the wicked is no more, the righteous is established forever. The question is then, well, what's that rock, right? And what's the sand? Well, the sand is this age. The sand is our hearts. The sand is mammon and the words of men. And the rock is Jesus. The rock is God's word. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. And it's like, what, where'd that come from, right? Because it almost seemed like there was a connection there for a moment, but then what, huh? Although as a proverb, it's quite potent. I mean, just sit there and imagine for a moment. Vinegar to the teeth, I don't understand as much, but smoke to the eyes, I get that one. Sit by a fire outside, beautiful, you know, fall evening. Fire's crackling, and then the wind changes, and the smoke straight into your face. Oh, man. Ouch. Burning, right? Red. Close the eyes. Got to move the chair. Like that experience is the sluggard to those who send him. The sluggard is one of these words, like the fool. It's sort of a technical term in the Old Testament. I mean, it's not just any old person, any old lazy bum, but it is the one who is lazy, particularly with regard to duty or honesty. He's a version of the fool. And so there is unbelief really tied into this word. It's not just about laziness, but it's the way that unbelief does manifest itself in a despising or a rejection of duty. Like smoke to the eyes is the sluggard to those who send him, those who trust in him. Trusting in the integrity of mankind's fallen flesh is a great danger and will pierce us, right? What does Paul say again? Warn those who are wealthy in this world not to be deceived by that wealth, for many will trust in those riches and pierce themselves with many pangs. It's a paraphrase. Smoke in the eyes is trust in this age. I mean, the first sluggard to beware of is you, your own flesh. It's, oh, I work hard, Pastor Fitz. That's not what I'm talking about. How attentive are you to the sermon? I mean, be honest with me. I'm a pastor. I go to church every week. I stare at the pastor during the sermon. I breathe deeply and try to focus. I promise you, in a 15-minute sermon, I get about 6 minutes of it. Maybe. Good day. It's not the pastor's fault. It's my fault. The distractibility of my flesh, the sluggardly nature within me, who would despise preaching in God's word and not hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it, right? Smoke to the eyes of my soul. Thanks be to God for forgiveness, right? Proverbs is natural law. Gotta know that going in here. It's not all just gospel and happy. But it's a warning. Trust not your flesh. I think that brings us to the end of what I said. I want to read the next one too, but I think I want to save that for next week. So what an interesting twist, right? From the blessing of the Lord gives you the true riches of contentment down to the warning that your sluggardly flesh would convince you not to trust in these things. And in the middle, the tempest of God's judgment, which will come and take away even your sluggardly nature on that day of judgment. It will be wiped away like a house on the sand. But, and there is the good news, you, the real new, regenerated, revived, new creation, you're built on the rock. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. The desire of the righteous will be granted.